Last week we started the fifth perek, perek Osmeres Benoi. It's a din that's a yeridei. It's noig b'zman hazeh. Usually you don't know. You have behemoths all over the place. So you don't know. So the odds are that you're not shechting Osmeres Benoi. You don't know. You're shechting, let's say, 100 behemoths in a slaughterhouse. So that means all the signs found. Why should I assume that it's an Osmeres Benoi? So the odds are that you're not. But if you keep tracking, you know, this is an Osmeres Benoi, then you're not allowed to shecht it on the same day. But if you did shecht it, we went through the whole Mishnah, I think we finished the Mishnah, no? So b'di'evit, if you do shecht it, Osmeres Benoi, the Mishnah says that it's muta b'di'evit, unless it's kachim. If it's be'emas kachim, so we have a pasuk in Chumash that says, Shor kesev eiz ki yivoliv hoyashiv asemim tachasin ma'am yomashmina b'holi yirotzu b'kor b'nisha l'ashem. You have to, if an animal is born, you have to wait till the eighth day. You can't be makriv it as a korban before. You can't even be magdish it before the eighth day. It's an aver. The night after the 7 days are up, the night leil shmini, you're allowed to be magdish it, but you can't be makriv it. The hakrova has to be done by yom. Laila lahakdoshen yom lahartzot. You can be magdish it after the 7 days are up. So the. So the Gemara understands in that pasuk that if you bring a korban within the first 7 days, it'll be puzzled by the Eved, because you were supposed to wait till the eighth day. That's called mechusa zman. So even if the animal is a year old already, and it's not before the eighth day, but you shechted the mother or the vlad on the same day, then you have to wait till tomorrow to shecht this one. That's not a korban dikadin, that's a din in all animals, even shechitas chulin. The Mishnah says that Osmeres Benoi is noig bein bekotchim bein mechulin. Mechulin of the Megdashim. It applies to Bizman Hazet, the Chulin applies to Karbanis. So that's also called Mechusa Zman. If you're going to shech the carbon today when you should have waited till the eighth day, or shech the carbon today, you should have waited till tomorrow because of the prohibition of Osmeres Benoi, then the carbon will be possible to the Eved because of Mechusa Zman. So that's the Mishnah that we learn. So the Gemara discusses this Mishnah. Tanu Rabbanan, we have a Brais. Minayin, how do you know from the Chumash? How can you tell? The Osmeres Benoi Shem Noig B'Megdoshim. Maybe it only applies to Chulin. How do you know that it even applies to Korbanos? Tanu Loimar, the two Psukim are one next to the other, Parsha Samor. Shorakes Veiz Ki Yivali Ruhay Shevasyam Tachasim Am Yonish Mini Vahali Yirotz in the Korban Yishal Hashem. You have to wait till the eighth day to be makrivit as a korban. That pasuk is only talking about korbanos. Then the very next pasuk, Chsid Basrei, the very next pasuk says, "Shorasel sodu esbenalos ushchato b'yayim mechot." So one pasuk right next to the other sounds like that. Just like the first pasuk is talking about kachim, so the second pasuk is also talking about kachim. Lime, the smichas apsukim indicates, it teaches us, Allah says, no, shenoy b'mekdosh. Even it applies, even if the animal is offered as a korban. Now the Brisa has a Havamina, the Ema, maybe I should say it's incorrect. Maybe I should say it only applies to Karbanis. Maybe the whole din doesn't apply Bizman Hazet to Chulin. The Ema, Efshe Zamazog, B'Megdoshin and B'Chulin Loi. Maybe the din of Osmeres Benoi is restricted only to Karbanis. Zog B'Gmanein, Shor Hifsikoinim. The first Pasuk says, Shor Kesavayski, Vali, B'Hai Shiva Siamat Tachasima, Yomishmina B'Hali, Yerotz, the Karbanis Hashem. Then the next Pasuk should have said, Osmeres Benoi only applies, all the animals are divided up into three categories. Either it's a behem or a chayu or an ov. So there are some dinim that apply. The din of Osmeres Benoi only applies to behem. Doesn't apply to oifes and it doesn't apply to chayus. The din of kisi hadam, when you shecht chayu v'oif, you have to have ofem malmato, ofem malmal, you have to do kisi hadam, that's only chayu v'oif. The din when you shecht an animal, you have to give away zvalach hayayim v'hakeva to the kohanim. That only applies to behemoths. It doesn't apply to oifas, and it doesn't apply to chayis. Some dinim only apply to behemoths. Some dinim only apply to kisa adamas to chaya and oif. And also there's beno and zvalach hayayim v'hakeva is only to behemoths. So the pasuk started off. Shora kesaveis ki vole. All three are behemoths. They're not chayus. Shor kesev eis ki valid. that b'yam hashmeini v'halev, you can't bring a korban from a chayev. A korban has to be dafka from a bema. So the pasuk starts off, shara kesev eis kivah, they have to wait till the eighth day. Then it says, also only applies to behema, doesn't apply to chay. So why does it have to repeat again? Let it just say. You just said, shara kesev eis kivah, a kochim. And then it should say, the answer is that if that the pasuk would have read like that, so you would have mistakenly thought that the din of osa esmano only applies to kachim, because the opening, the first pasuk is talking, shivas yam tachasimim yam mishmeini v'holi rots of the carbon. You can only bring it for a carbon starting from the eighth day on. So if the next pasuk, the second pasuk right after that, would have just said osa esmano osa shchato, you would think it's only talking about kachim. That's what the Gemara says, sure hipsik linyan. The fact that the second pasuk begins with shor vasa osav yasmano, that's like a new paragraph. It's a new pasuk that we know, but it's like a new paragraph. It didn't rely on the shor kesev eis kivon. So that shows that the second pasuk is not talking about kochim, it's talking about chulin. So once you establish it's not talking about kochim, fregmar baita v'emu b'chulin en b'mekdoshin lo. So he just explained that second pasuk is not a hemshech from the first. But the first pasuk is talking about korbanos. You have to wait till the eighth day. Second pasuk is not a hemshich. So maybe it should be b'chula and b'mekdoshim lo. How does the Mishnah know that it applies to mekdoshim? So we said before, because it follows the first pasuk that talks about kochim. But you just said the second pasuk starts all over again. The shor v'osel osav yasbino starts all over. See, it sounds like it's not a hemshich from before. And for the Gemara, vav meisif alinyan rishon. Since the second pasuk starts off v'shorose, it should have started off shorose also v'yazbino. It starts with a vav, so vav meisiv v'lanyarisha means it is a hemshech. So the first pasuk is kachim, so the second pasuk is also kachim. But the pshutu shamikra, leaving out the vav, pshutu shamikra, the second pasuk is talking about chulin. So that's how they established, that's how the Tanoim established the din, that the din of osav yazbino applies both to kachim and to chulin. Chulin, if you'll shechtos v'ezbeno b'yamechot, you did it aveiri, you get malchus, but it won't be osa b'achila. Mishnah says it'll be muta b'achila. And if kachim, if you'll shechtos v'ezbeno, not only will you have violated an aveira for shechting the second one, osa v'ezbeno, you get malchus for shechting osa v'ezbeno, it'll be possible also, because that's called the psula m'chusas man. Just like if you had to wait till the eighth day is m'chusas man, you have to wait till tomorrow, is also called m'chusas man. In Shulchan Aruch and Hilchas Milah, they quote a passage from the Zohar that you have the same din. When an animal is born, you can't bring it as a korban until the eighth day. When a baby boy is born, you can't do the bris milah until the eighth day. So it's a medrash rabbah. It's a medrash rabbah, but the Zohar elaborates it. It has the same idea with more elaboration. So the medrash says, you see from the both dinim are the same, that the performing the bris milah and the baby dam comes out, just like when you bring a korban to Beis HaMikdash. The Iker Avodah that's Ma'akev is the Avodah Saddam. The Shechita, Kabbalah, Halacha, Zvika, that's Avodah Saddam. Haktaras Emurim is not Mi'akev, but the Dalal Avodah Saddam are Mi'akev. So the Medrash has an explanation why the din is like that. So the Medrash says, why did the Rabban Shalom say you have to wait till the eighth day? Because in order that the Bismillah should have the proper effect on the baby has to experience Shabbos. So if you would perform the bris milah before the eighth day, sometimes it would not have experienced Shabbos. Not only a Jewish baby experiences Shabbos, the animals also have to experience Shabbos. If you want to bring an animal as a korban, you have to wait till it passes through a Shabbos. So now the Shabbos has an effect on the animal, so now the animal is right to be offered as a korban. Just like the baby is rightly to be brought for a bris milah. So then the Medrash asks, but why don't you make bris milah on the seventh day? If the baby is born on Sunday, you do the bris on Shabbos, the seventh day, you will experience Shabbos. And if the baby is born on Shabbos, and the seventh day will be Friday, so it was born on Shabbos. So, huh? So the Medrash says, interesting, not exactly, so the Medrash says that Leil Shabbos is one experience, and Yom HaShabbos is a different experience. I don't know what this means, but in Shulchan Aruch they say that Leil Shabbos, there are seven spheres. I don't know what that means either. So it says that Leil Shabbos is Bepchinas Malchus, the bottom sphere, and Shabbos in the morning, in the daytime, Shabbos in the daytime is Bepchinas Yisoid. That's why in many Sidurim it says Leil Shabbos you say Yenuchu Vo.
Yeah.
And Shabbos in the daytime you say Yenuchu Vo, and then to Mincha you say Yenuchu Vom. So Rav Soloveitchik said over that it says in the Mefarshim on the side of the Shulchan Aruch, why do you say Balayla Bo? Laila is Loshen Zocher. Laila is not Loshen Nekeva. Yom is Loshen Zocher. So maybe you should say Yenuchu Vo in the daytime because Yom is Loshen Zocher. But Laila is also Loshen Zocher. Manishtana Alayla Hazeh. You don't say Alayla Hazos. Laila ends with a comment, hey, and the plural is Leilos, but it's a Zocher, it's not a Nekeva. So the Mefarshim on the Shulchan Aruch, the Chassam Sofer says, because Leil Shabbos is Bebchinas Malchus, so that's Loshen Nekeva. That's why you say Yenuchu Vo. Yom Shabbos in the daytime is Bebchinas Yisoi, the sphere right above Malchus, so that's why you say the Yenuchu Vo. Then to Mincha you say Yenuchu Vam. I don't know what this means. They say Shabbos afternoon to Mincha time, it's all the Bechinas all together. That's why it says in the Ramon Shulchan Aruch that on Shabbos when you cut the when you have Lechem Mishnah, so you should put the two chalas one on top of the other. Many people have the chalas one next to the other. So Ramon says no, you should have one on top of the other. Then the Zohar says you should have back to back. You shouldn't have the one on top of the other. The top of the chala on top on both. You should have top chala should be up and the bottom chala should be upside down. So they have back to back. It's like one big chala. So, and on Friday night, you should cut the bottom challah, or you should cut both and eat the bottom challah. And on Shabbos in the daytime, you should eat the upper challah. Why? Because Shabbos by night is Bebchinas Malchus, that's the bottom sphere, that's the lowest sphere. And Shabbos in the daytime is Bebchinas Yisoy, that's above Malchus. I don't know what the words mean. That's what it says in the Mefarshim al Shulchan Aruch. And then the Mogen Avraham says that by the Hasidim, based on passage in the Zohar, the best aliyah is Shishi. Why is Shishi the best aliyah? Because Shishi is the sixth sphere, is the sphere of Yisoid, and Shabbos in the daytime is Bebchinas Yisoid, whatever that's supposed to mean. I don't know. So that's what the Zohar, that's what the Medrash says. You want that the baby should experience Shabbos, Leil Shabbos. The baby should experience Leil Shabbos. Now, if the baby will be born Shabbos in the daytime, and you do the bris up until the seventh day, so the baby didn't experience Leil Shabbos yet. So that's why the Torah made a loyt plug. You always have to wait till the eighth day. So every baby will have experienced Leil Shabbos. And the same thing by korbanos. You shouldn't bring an animal as a korban until the animal experienced. Not only does Shabbos have an effect on a little Jewish baby, baby doesn't even know that it's Shabbos, but the Leil Shabbos has an effect on the little baby. It's machshehim that is right to be to have the bris have an effect on him. So Leil Shabbos has an effect on the babies also, that the roi lahakrova. That's what the Taz says. Why do you make a Shalom Zocher? What is Shalom Zocher all about? So some Mefarshim say in Yerideya that the Gemara says, Gemara has an agaratem aseches nida, that when every woman is pregnant with a Jewish baby, so the Malach teaches the baby called a terakula, then before the baby's about to be born, the Malach slaps him and he forgets everything. So Nebuch, the baby is an avelus over the loss of his Torah. He knew a lot of Torah, he forgot. They slapped him, he forgot everything. So you have to get, you have to have a Suda Savra. Just like when the avelim come back from the cemetery, so the first Suda, the Yom HaRishon, has to be Mishalacherim, that's called the Suda Savra. So you have a Shalom Zohar, so you have to go where the baby is. So the Shalom Zohar Suda is where, let's say the mother is, let's say the mother's home and the baby's in the hospital. Or the mother's in the hospital and the baby's home, whatever. So where do you have the Shalom Zocher? You're supposed to have where the baby is, where the mother is. So those who say that it's a Suda Savra for the baby, the baby's not going to eat any food, but you have a Suda Savra where the baby is. And others say that it's not so much a Suda Savra because the baby forgot his learning. So the Taz quotes that from the Rama Mifano, and then he gives a different reason. He says, according to that Medrash, the Medrash Rabbah on Parshas Tazria, and the Zohar has that Barichas, so it says that the it's the experiencing, the baby experiences Leil Shabbos, like the animal experiences Leil Shabbos, that's what makes the baby roy to have the bris milah. So since the baby becomes roy and mukhsha for the bris on Leil Shabbos, so the Leil Shabbos after the birth, that's when you have a party. We're throwing a party because the baby is not roy, is now roy to have a bris milah. Rav Soloveitchik thought that those were not the real reason. He thought the real reason was that the Gemara says in Masechet Shabbos in Perek Avlez in the Milah that the Yoledes is sometimes considered a Chodesh Yesh B'Sakana. Years ago, you have to make sure that she gave birth to a baby and a whole bucket of dam comes out. You have to make sure that she remains healthy. So the Gemara says whenever you have a Chodesh Yesh B'Sakana, So if need be, you have to be Mechal Shabbos to make sure that the person survives. So the Gemara says, whenever you have to be Mechal Shabbos for Chayla, you shouldn't ask Tanim before Bar Mitzvah, you shouldn't ask Goyim, you shouldn't ask Noshim, you should make sure that adults do it, that people shouldn't think that it's really something that should be frowned upon, and the adults won't want to do Chilul Shabbos. So he says, Einoisim Dabazeh, the Gemara says, you don't do it Ayde Ktanim, Ayde Noshim, Ayde Nochrim, El Ayde Gdoli Yisrael. You have to do it with adults, and they should realize that because Nefesh is Het HaGomen, there's nothing wrong. So when the Rambam quotes that Loshon, Ayde Gdolim, they write, Gdoli Yisrael V'chachameihem. Poshim Shad Gdolim means adults, past Bar Mitzvah. The Rambam says, no, the Rabbanim have to do the Chilul Shabbos. Gdoli Yisrael V'chachameihem. So Rav Soloveitchik thought that Mistama, the Maaser Shohaya, was that the Rav in every village would go to visit the Yoledes. Forget where the baby is. Baby may still be in the hospital. The Yoledes in the hospital, whatever, wherever the Yoledes is. So the Rav should go to see if the Yoledes needs any Chilul Shabbos. And if she needs it, he should do it in person. He should take care of the Chilul Shabbos. So it's not the Acheretz. The Rav should walk on his own in the street on Friday night. So Mistama, the Rosh HaKol, walked along with the Rav to Bagleitim as he's going to visit the Yoledes to make sure that if there's any Chilul Shabbos, he'll have to do it. So the Mamela, once the Rav came, so they gave him some tea and some cookies and whatever, but really it's the Rav is coming to visit to see if the Yoledes needs any Chilul Shabbos, yeah?
So if this party is based on the mother giving birth and being in a sakana, it should also be if she gave birth to a female.
Right, Anachanami? Yeah. Okay. All the teaching the Torah also, we assume the Malach teaches the baby girls also the whole Torah. So it should apply to the girls also, yeah.
That's why you have Arvis, probably, because of
Sudhisavra. That's why you have
Arvis.
Arvis, yeah. So Rav Soloveitchik used to tell people that's not wine, they shouldn't have Arvis.
You didn't have a party that the Rav didn't have to be Mechal Shabbos. The Rav made the party, he didn't have to be Mechal Shabbos.
He didn't have to be Mechal Shabbos, yeah. I remember Rav Simcha Sheps, Zechar Levrach, he used to be a Rebbe in Tarvadas. So he told us a Maisa Shahaya. He said, I probably told it here. He said, they usually used to go to Brisk to learn for a year, by Rav Elbel Soloveitchik. Then they went back to the yeshiva where they came from. He came from the Miri yeshiva. So he says he was there for a year, and on Shavuot, someone ran into the shul, and they said that a Jewish university student was in an automobile accident. He was run over by a car, and he needs medical treatment, but he's not a citizen of Lithuania, I guess. Where is Brisk and Lithuania? I'm not sure. So he was a citizen of Poland or something. So somebody had to go to the Polish consulate, to make sure that they're going to take care of him in the hospital. So this was someone ran into the shul. So the Briskerov ran out. He's going to make the phone call. Because the Rambam says, you have to have Gdoli Sova Chachamim, have to do the Chilul Shabbos. So Rav Simcha Sheps told over the story. The Rav ran out to be Mesada, the Pikuach Nefesh. So the Gaboim didn't want him to, it was in the middle of Chazaras HaShatz and Shachris. So they didn't want him to miss everything. So they were slowing down the davening. So they told the Chazan he should sing by him and so Ha'aron and Yud Gimel Midas, Shamash Gal Racham Acharim, when they open up their cut, everything should be slow. Slow, slow. So he didn't come back. Then they gave Aliyas, they gave the five Aliyas. So they're making long Bishop Berachs, they're hoping the Rav is going to come back. He missed the whole. Then they tried to slow everything down. He still didn't come back. So they started Musaf without him. So the Briskerov walked in as they were just about to start Musaf. As they just started Musaf. So he couldn't walk back to his seat in the front. He sat in the Mizrachman. So you're not allowed to walk in front of someone who's davening Shmona Esrei. So he stood in the back. So he didn't have his machzer. So he was davening Musaf Bal Peh. Davening Kenan. To daven Musaf Bal Peh. That's not so difficult. But that, how do you say Yom HaBikurim? How are you going to say it? He knows the Karbonis by heart. So after he finished davening Musaf, he was in such a behola, he was so tumult. After Musaf was all over, Rav Velvela walked over to Rav Simcha Zelig, was the dayan in the community. So he tells him he doesn't know, he was so tzedreit, he didn't have a machzer. He doesn't remember if he davened Shachris Digvei Shmoneh Esrei, which is easier, or Musaf Digvei Shmoneh Esrei. He doesn't remember. Rav Simcha Zelig was asking, did you remember saying this? Did you remember saying that? I didn't remember anything. So Rav Simcha Sheps was telling us this, that Rav Velvela never would paskin. He wouldn't paskin his own Yalavi Avashayla for himself. We were discussing that Rav Chaim Oizer has a tshuva in Achiezer. The tshuvas that Rav Chaim Oizer himself published, they were all edited. The letters that he sent, Rav Chaim Oizer sent letters, tshuvas, So sometimes he said regards to so-and-so and how's the Rebbetzin doing, and this one is sick and the other one is not well. So when Rav Chaim Oizer printed the tshuvas in his sefer, so he edited out all the other things of historical interest, whatever's not part of the tshuva. But after he passed away, then they had additional tshuvas by Rav Chaim Oizer, so they didn't edit anything else. They left everything in. So they have one of the letters of Rav Chaim Oizer that was not edited. So he has a shaila, a bit Hilchas Geiris, and he says, Rav Velvelo Soloveitchik was here last night, and he agreed with my psak. So I asked Rav Simcha Sheps, Rav Velvelo Soloveitchik would take a stand on paskening a shaila. He says, not a chance, he would never. He said he wouldn't pasken his own yalav yalav shaila. What do you mean, he would never? So he says, I'll tell you what probably happened. Rav Chaim Moiseh had to bounce his ideas off of someone else. So Rav Velvelo probably came to visit him. So Rav Chaim Moiseh probably said, I think the din is like A, B, C, D. And Rav Velvelo probably didn't say yes, he didn't say no, didn't bat an eyelash. So Rav Chaim Moiseh said, right, and Rav Velvelo was maskim, because he didn't say no. He said, but Rav Velvelo wouldn't pasken anything. They tell all the stories that they asked Rav Velvelo, Shaila said, our Shaila is not good to Shaila. He wouldn't give it up. He was not from the Machrim. He didn't want to pass. Anyway, but that was the story. That when there was a, and then Rav Shep said, and who do you think the university student was? A Jewish student went to university. Ruba de Ruba, they were apikursim. Ruba de Ruba, they were not observant at all. And still he ran to do the phone calls. He ran to make the, to take care of the Pikach Nevesh, even though they were not religious, even though they're probably apikursim. Anyway, so getting back over here. So the din of Osu Ezmano applies both to Korbanos and to Chulman. It applies to both. So now the Gemara asked the question. Since the two psukim one after the other, it says, this is interesting, it says in Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber writes, Avi HaBen should stand next to the Moel to notify him that he's appointing him as a Shaliach. The father is appointing the Moel as a Shaliach. So the father's yotzei his mitzvah to be malad baby. So the Vilna Gaon writes over there, he doesn't think that's the reason why. He thinks the real reason why the Avi HaBen stands next to the Moel, because the Medrash has this idea, and the Zohar elaborates upon it, that a bris milah in some respects is similar to Akrobus Karbonus. You have the bleeding dam, and you have to wait till the Yom HaShmini to be able to perform the bris, to be able to bring the carbon. And in Karbonus, the Gemara has a din, Hech Karbonus Shalodim Karavei Noem Al Gabav. How can you bring somebody's carbon if the Bala carbon is not there? B'diyevet is somebody's Meshaleach carbon. If he sends a Shlich to bring it to the Beis HaMikdash, B'diyevet, it will be good. But L'chatchila, the mitzvah B'shleimus is, the Bala carbon should be standing there when they makrev his carbon. That's what the Mishnah says. When you offer the Tmidim and Masafim on behalf of all of Klal Yisrael, every day they bring Tmidim and special occasion they bring Masafim. So Klal Yisrael standing there. What happened to the day? Ech kabaru shalom kar v'einahim ragabov. So the Mishnah says that's why the Chachamim introduced Mamadas. You have to have representatives of all of Klal Yisrael. They divided all of Klal Yisrael into 24 parts. And every week, another group of people, this family, the other family, these families should stand there in the Beis HaMikdash, representing all the rest of Klal Yisrael, because the Bala Karban has to be present, L'chatchila, to be Yotze, the Mitzvah, Mishlem Musa, the Bala Karban has to be present. So the Vilna Gaon says he thinks that's the real reason why the Avia Ben should stand next to the Moel. He called him up on the phone. What does he have to, the father called the Moel, and the mother called the Moel on the phone, said he already told me he's the Shliach. So what does he have to stand there to tell him again he's the Shliach? He already appointed him before the day of the Bris. So the Gaon says the real reason is because it's like a carbon and the Bala carbon has to stand there. Yeah. So now the Gemara raises a question. The two psukim are one next to the other. So the two psukim are one next to the other. So the first pasuk talks about karbanas clearly. That shiosyanu tachasima miyam mishmini v'holi yirotza the karbanish of Hashem. And the next pasuk talks both chulin and kochim. It has a vav moisiv alinivishan. So Os Vezman applies also to Kachim. And forgetting about the Vav, Shor Oseh sounds like it's a new paragraph. So it goes on Chulin. It goes both on Chulin and on Kachim. So Freg the Gemara, since one is right back to back next to the other, maybe I should say, Ma Kachim Kilayim Lo, we learn that from Sukkim, that certain animals cannot be brought as a carbon. So if you have a Kilayim, if you have a hybrid between the mother and the father of the behemoth are two different animals. So even though the mother would be kosher the korban and the father would be kosher the korban, but if the vlad is a kelaim, it's a hybrid, so we learn that from psukim that you can't be makrim such a korban. It's not in chal kedusha on it. Let's say if a person sets aside money, puts aside $1,000 to bring a korban, so the money gets kedushas damim la mizbech. If a person sets aside $1,000 as a donation to fix up the Beis HaMikdash, they have to cement the walls and fix the plaster or whatever. So that's called Kedusha's Berek HaBayis. That's a different Hekdash. But if a person sets aside $1,000 to bring a Korban Oil or Korban Shlamim, that's Kedusha's Damim Lam Mizbech. That's not Berek HaBayis. If a person sets aside an animal, that's Kedusha's Aguf Lam Mizbech. What if he sets aside an animal that has a Mum Kavua? It has a missing a leg. A leg was amputated. So the Kedushas, it's not Chal Kedushas Aguf Lamizbech. All it has is Kedushas Damim Lamizbech. Even though he says Harezu Oilo, it can't be a Kedushas Aguf Lamizbech because it has a Mum Kavur. So similarly, Mar says, if you have an animal that's a Kelayim, the father and the mother are different meaning, and the Vlad is a blend, we learn that from Sukkim, it can't be Nitfas, but Kedushas Aguf Lamizbech. If you set aside a Kelayim as a Korban Oil, it'll become a Kedushas Damim Lamizbech. The same status as setting aside money, $1,000 to buy a korban. The difference is if it has kedusha aguf lamizbeach, it can't be paid it until it gets a mum kavua. If the thing only gets in the first place kedusha zdamim lamizbeach, then it lends itself to pinyon. That's what kedusha zdamim means. Kedusha zdamim means it's only kodesh lidamav. So you auction it off to the highest bidder. You take the money, you bring a korban. So let's say somebody sets aside an animal which is a kilayim. He says harezu oilo. So it's not going to be chal kedusha zdamim, it'll be chal kedusha zdamim lamizbeach. It'll be the same as if you set aside $1,000 to buy a korban. So the Gemara raises the question, since the two psukim are one next to the other, the first pasuk talks about kotshim, you can't be makriv till the eighth day. The second pasuk talks about osves benol, so maybe I should say, and there's a vav meisiv halin yerishim, connecting the two, linking the two up, that's like a hekesh. Hekesh really, if you have two didim in the same pasuk. Or if you have two psukim that are one next to the other, that's smuchim. So smuchim is a machloikas hatanaim in the beginning of Yevamos. Whether you treat smuchim, two psukim next to each other, do you treat it the same as a hekesh, two didim in the same pasuk or not? So we basically paskin, we don't darshan smuchim, except for chumash dvar. In Mishnah Torah, the Gemara gives two reasons why you do darshan smuchim. Chumash dvar, we have many famous dinim, many famous drashas that are based on smuchim, one pasuk next to the other. But on the rest of the Chumashim, not better. He have a vav moisiv alin yerishin. He have a vav hamechaberis that connects the second pasuk to the first pasuk. So that's when the Gemara raises the question: Imakoch mikolayim lo? Maybe I should say like this: I should make it like a hekesh in korbanos. If you magdush mikolayim, it's just not chal. It's only going to be chal kedushas damim lamizbech. As if you set aside $1,000, it won't be chal a korban. So maybe after osu es beno kelayim lo, maybe the prohibition of osu es beno lo sushchata b'yom echad only applies if the animal is not a hybrid, but if the animal is a devlad, the father and the mother of the animal are two different animals and it's a kelayim, so maybe the whole din of osu es beno doesn't apply. That's a shaila. Ima kotchim kelayim lo, because the hekish the vav moisiv alin yerishon. So just like by kotchim it. Kedusha's carbon doesn't apply to Kelayim. Maybe after all says, but no, Kelayim, no, it shouldn't apply. But the din is not so. Allah matanya, how come? Why do we have a tosefta that says, it does apply, even if the lot is Kelayim, ubikui, we're going to have to discuss kui. The Gemara has a whole machlekes hatanaim. What is the kui? In Shulchan Aruch it says in Hilchos, a kui is a buffalo.
But it's an antelope, I saw.
Huh?
It's an antelope, I saw.
Yeah, I don't know. But it does mean what we call a buffalo is not the Mechab is calling a buffalo. It's a Spanish word. Mechab spoke Spanish, but so it doesn't correspond to our buffalo. So the Gemara talks about kui as some kind of an animal that's a Safik Chaya, Safik Behema. Why is it a Safik Chaya, Safik Behema? So the Gemara is going to have a Machlekes Hatanoim later on, somewhere over here. Yeah, on Pei Amar Aleph, the Gemara is going to have a whole Machlekes Hatanoim. Is a kui beria bifnei atzma? It's the min when Baruch Shalom created the world. He created deer and cows and goats and sheep and all kinds of things. He created a kui. So what's the suffix, whether it's a behem or a chaya? The chachamim can figure out whether it's a behem or a chaya. It's not so easy to determine. You have to know by the shape of the horns. But not everybody can figure out. So is a kui a min behema beria bifnei atzma? Because we're not sure how to determine. Or should I assume that a koi is a tayish haboa min ha-tayish min ha-tzviya? It's a hybrid that one of its parents is behema, one of the parents is a chaya. That's a medical question. The tanoim are not sure. You can breed a goat with a sheep. They're both behema daka, and they're both 5 month pregnancy. Behema gasa is a 9 month pregnancy. Behema daka is a 5 month pregnancy. So you can breed two behemas together. Can you breed a chaya with a behema together? So the tanoim are not sure. Sometimes said absolutely yes, and sometimes said absolutely no. I'm sure they must have made studies about this in recent years. So the tanoim weren't sure about that. The Adam Achlekes. So here the tayish is a goat, some kind of a goat, and the tzviya is a chaya. Tayish is a behema, and tzviya is a chaya. So that's the question: is it really moiled? If you make the two up together, can they really have lotus? So this Tana thinks that you can. Another Tanaim said there is no such thing. Chayin behema not molidim biyachad. It's impossible. So Zegma's going to discuss exactly what is the kui. But a kui, whatever kind of an animal it is, it's considered a sofik chayah, sofik behema. So the Tosefta says, the last two lines on Ayin Chesem and Aleph, Aloma Tanya, how come we have a brisa that says in the Tosefta, Osviz b'no noig, b'kalayim u'v'koi, even if one of the animals is a hybrid, or one of the animals is a sofik behema, sofik chayah, the din of Osviz b'no only applies to behemas. Doesn't apply to ofas, does not apply to chayas. But if you have a kui, that's a sofik behema, sofik chaya, so sofik deraisa luchumer. Also, as Mano is a din deraisa, you're mesupik, it may be a behema, so the din of as Mano should apply misofik. It should be prohibited to shechta also as Mano. But if he goes ahead and he does it, we wouldn't give him malchus because of sofik lakula. Sofik, whether he deserves malchus, he go lakula, but sofik isur should be luchumer. So the Gemara is asking the question, two questions. So the first question is, since Bab Moisif Adinyan Rishon, the first pasuk talks about kachim, the second pasuk talks about osvez beno, and there is a you do darshan smuchim here because the Bab Moisif Adinyan Rishon. So maybe what it should indicate to us, maybe what it should teach us is that just like by kachim, it's impossible to have a korban on an animal which is klein. The maximum it can have is going to be kedushas dam and lamizbeach. Not going to have a kedushas guf lamizbeach. So maybe the whole din of osvez beno should not apply to klein. And the Tosefta says that it does. So how do they know that that's true? And Kasha number two, we owe that Sveita Kasha on the last line, on Ayin Chesem and Aleph, the Pasuk of Osa Ezbeno starts off, Vishor Vise Oso Ezbeno Lusu Shchatu B'Yemechad. And the Gemara has a tradition, Ba'omar Rove, Rove Gizok, whenever the word Se appears in the Chumash, we have a Binyanav. Binyanav means, we assume the Chumash was authored by one individual. The Rebbeinu Shlom dictated the whole Chumash to Moshe Rabbeinu, word for word, letter for letter. So we assume that the whole Chumash is written in the same style Hebrew. So if a word has a certain connotation, a Chumash Bereishis has the same meaning, a Chumash Dvar. It wasn't authored by different people in different times. The whole Chumash from the beginning to the end was authored by a Kodesh Boch, and words have the same meaning. When we learned Masecha Saitas on the first daf, the Gemara says the word aid, whenever it appears in Chumash, always, it does mean a witness. It means shnayim. It means two witnesses, a pair of witnesses, unless it says eid echad. If it says eid echad, then it means one witness. But whenever the word eid, who eid or ra yada? Other psukim it says eid ein bo. So whenever it says the word eid and doesn't say eid echad, so based on one pasuk, that sheds light on the whole chumash. That's called a binyanah. Whenever a certain word has a certain connotation in one place in the Chumash, we say it always has that same connotation, always has the same meaning. So Rabbi says over here, the Yod, here it says, Shor v'se oso v'yazman alo sishchatu, and Rabbi has a tradition, the Omar Rabbi, there is a binyanav, there's a question over here, where does this binyanav come from? Where is the original source in the Chumash that they establish it? That's the question Rashi and Taisus, not to negate to us right now. So the Gemara says, Rabbi has a binyanav for somewhere in Chumash, that the word, whenever the word se appears, it means it means that it's a pure set, that both parents were sheep. If one parent was a goat, one parent is a sheep, the Vlad wouldn't be called, and the Vlad is a hybrid, so the Vlad wouldn't be called set. So here it says, so the word set should have the connotation of bedavka, not kilayim. So how come the Tosefta says Noig Bikalayim? That's the Gemara's kasha. And for the Gemara, Omakro, the answer is on the second line from the top of Ayin Ches on the base. Omakro, the pasuk says Shor Baseh. Omakro, Shor Oseh. Also, we has been all this shchato. So it says, "Oh, shor oseh, oh is l'rabbis hasaklai." Tosis here discusses sometimes the word "oh" is a ribui, sometimes the word "oh" is a miut, based on the context. So over here, the word "oh" is a ribui, shor seh, and "oh" means etc. A shor is behemagasa, says behemadaka. The din of us has been all doesn't apply to chayah. It only applies to behemoth, behemagasa, behemadaka, and it applies to an O. O is a kilayim. It applies to a kilayim also. Freg di Gemara, that's what the word O means. A shor, or a seh, etc., or a kilayim. Vayo, I knew that word for something, to tell me what's the nature of the prohibition. Vishor o seh. Either to shech the shor osa lezbeno or a seh osa lezbeno. If it wouldn't say, oh, how would it be written, shor vaseh? I kept on saying it incorrectly. The pasuk doesn't say shor vaseh, it says shor osa. So the Gemara says, vahai o, this word o does mean etc. Shor, seh, or kilayim, etc. Hai mabada lechalek. I needed to tell me that shor beno and seh beno, the salka da tachamina, one could have mistakenly thought, incorrectly thought, that the shochet sor ubeno and seh beno. You only violate the yisar of os vez beno if you shechted four animals, a shor in his vlad and a seh in a vlad. He wouldn't be chayv malchus. He wouldn't have violated an avera. Listen, shechts four animals. Kamash malon lechalek. That's why it has to say shor ose. So how can you tell me that the word o means etc.? A shor behemagasa or a se behemadaka or an o etc. or a kilayim, any combination of the above. How can it be? But I need o to tell me a different din lechalek. You shouldn't think that the prohibition only applies to be shecht four animals. So the Gemara says, I know lechalek from later in the pasuk. I don't need with the word o lechalek, because it says o sovi as bino lo sishchatu b'yamechon. So it says bino. So you're talking about the vlad of one. And for the Gemara, lechalek mi bino nafke. Since it doesn't say, it should have said o sovi as binam lo sishchatu. It doesn't say o sovi as. If it would, you have to shecht all four, then it should say o sovi as binayim. That would mean the two fathers and the two vladis. But it doesn't say that. It's the Osobi. So he said you only have to shech one vlad. Freg the Gemara. No, I still need lechali. The Gemara said, why? Because Ila Nama the Brisa. Ila Nama Shor Vaseh Ubino. If it would say Shor Vaseh instead of O. If it would say Shor Vaseh with a Vav instead of an O. Ubino in the singular. Hayisem, I would have mistakenly thought you have to shech three animals to violate the Avera. Hayisem, incorrectly, I would have thought Achishchat Shor Vaseh Ubino of one of them. You have to shech the Behemagasa Behemadako, kosher. A behemoth tamea is not nitfus and shchita. The osa lezbeno doesn't apply to elephants or to horses or to donkeys. It's not chal shchita on it, because shchita is only chal on a behemoth Torah. So, if the pasuk would have said shor vaseh ubino, ilan emar shor vaseh ubino, he said emar sheishchad, you have to shecht three. Tamalo emar shor oseh means one either behemoth gasa or behemoth daka osa lezbeno. That you only have to shecht two animals to violate aver. Not only do you not have to shecht four, you don't have to shecht three either. But you need the word o. So the Gemara says, my lab, the simple reading of the Brayse says, may o nafkale, you need the word o, lechalek, that there's no need to shecht three, it's enough to shecht two. Gemara says, lo, no, that I know may also. The word o is miyutah to teach may all the rabbis as haklaim. Shor kama, or se kama, or etc. Or a kilayim, some combination of the above. The shor and the seh are two different kinds of seh, seh kvasim and seh izim, that you can make a hybrid. So the Gemara says, no, that I know from the two words, oso, v'yazbeno, you shech one of the parents, either the shor or the seh, v'yazbeno, one of the vladis, and that'll be oso v'yazbeno. And the word o is not really needed, l'chalek, the Gemara says, but the word o is needed to teach me kilay. Freg the Gemara, there should still be a machlekes hatanim. Ho anicha, what you just said is valid. The rabbanon de miata lehu also. There is a machlekes Chananya and the chachamim. Chananya was a tana, so there's a machlekes hatanim regarding the din of also as beno. The pasuk says shor ose. Shor is in the male, is not the female. Shor ose oso b'ez oso is male. Yes, Beno is male. So, Tosis points out in Baba Kama, there is no neutral gender in Hebrew language. So, Kol HaTarkul is written Beloshen Zoch, everything is written Beloshen Zoch, but it applies, Ishva Kosev Ishali Ish, the females have the same dinim as the males usually. So the Pashtus is that also as Beloshen apply both to males and to females. So there's a Rishita in the Gemara. Tanoim say no. Also, there's Beno only applies to the mother and the Vlad. Only applies if the mother, the Vlad, doesn't matter whether it's Zohar or Keva, but only applies to the mother, not to the father. By human beings, we are related to our fathers, we are related to our mothers, unless the fathers are Goy. So then you're only related to the mother's Jewish and the Vlad is Jewish and the father's a Goy. So Al Pidin, even though it's the biological father, the child is not related. B'no min ha-nochris and min ha-shivcha, it's not misachos after the father. But if you have a Jewish father, so the father, let's say, who determines whether the child is a kohen Levi Yisrael? The mishpachosim lebeis ha-oisim. That depends on the father. The child is related to the mother, he's not allowed to marry relatives from the mother's side either. He's not allowed to marry a half-sister from the father's side. Not allowed to marry a half-sister from the mother's side. Both. So human beings are related both to the father and to mother. The child is behemoth. When behemoths give birth, so the Vlad is in the mother's rechem by the behemoth for 5 months or for 9 months. So he certainly, the Vlad is related to the mother. Shaila said whether the Vlad is related to the father, al pidin, by behemoths. So that's a machlekes hatanaim. That's called choshishim lezera ha'av, or ein choshishim lezera ha'av. Choshishim means that the behemoths are related to the father. Not only are they related to the mother, they're related to the father. So just like human beings are related to the father and the mother, so behemoths is also the same. And the other Tana holds no in Chashishim Lezerha. By behemoths, no such thing as being related to the father, only related to the mother. So here you have a pasuk, Osobi as Beno. It's written in the masculine. So we can say it applies both to Zohar and to Nekeva, because usually Kol HaTarakul is written in masculine, Beloshen Zohar. But Hishmakos v'ishaliyish, we don't have a neutral gender, so it's written in masculine, but it applies equally. But if someone's got one Tana holds, also his Beno only applies to the mother, does not apply to the Vlad. That's very strange. But the pasuk Osovi has Beno. How can you say it only applies to the mother and it doesn't? How can you say it doesn't apply to the father? So how do you read the pasuk in Chumash? Farfal. That's a machlekes hatanaim. In Shulchan Aruch, we paskin that it's a sveik edina. Whether Osev Ez Beno applies, even though the Chumash says Oso, the Ez Beno, it's in the masculine, and the simple pshuta shel nikra certainly applies to the father and the Vlad. You can digzach, does it also apply to the mother? So the Tanaim say, no, it certainly applies to the mother, and we're not so convinced that it applies to the father. So in Shulchan Aruch, we paskin, it's also misafik, to shecht also the father and the Vlad. If you did it, you wouldn't get Malkus because it's a Sofik. So Sofik is Surah Lechumra and Sofik Malkus is Lekula.
Why did Torah write it in Noshin Zohar?
Is it a Pella? I don't know. The Gemara doesn't ask it. It's such an obvious Pella. Gemara doesn't ask it. Tosis on the next daf points out an Ayin Tesem and Aleph. Ailo Hanach the Damya Lahadadi, there's a long taste is there. So around 10 lines down, they have a correction on the left hand margin. Tosis is quoting the Tagam Unklus on Osev Yez Beno. So it says, Shor Osev Yez Beno. So they quote the Unklus translates, Torso Oseso Lo Vilibro. You see it in the margin. And the brackets, lo v'libro, the Targum Onkelos translates the mother. The Pasuk says, Oso v'yez beno, Loshen Zoch, it goes on the father. So the Targum Onkelos writes, l'halocha, it goes on the mother. That's what Tosis has a whole discussion. What's the din? How do we paskin over here? So the bottom line, Tosis says, the last two or three lines, the last three words in Tosis, the last line, Us v'zbena noig v'schorim li'isura v'lod ha'malkas. That's how we pass in the Yerideya. That's a suffix deraisa l'chumre. So you're not allowed to shech the father and the vlad, but you wouldn't give malkas if he did it, because it's only a sveka adina. The suffix where they say choshishim zera'av, is there a kurva between the father and the vlad by behemoth? Or no, only by Adam. By behemoth, there's no kurva. So Nachman, so the Gemara says again. So the Gemara asks, how do you know Othman applies to Kilayim? It's a Tosefta. Says, no, you be Kilayim. The Gemara says, but why shouldn't be? Ought not to be? The two reasons. First of all, because the two psukim are connected. The first pasuk goes on Shivas Yam Tachasim, Yam Shmini Vahali Yirata. The carbon goes on Karbanas, and Karbanas, there are no Karbanas from Kilayim. It's just not Chal Kedusha Guf Lamizbech. The maximum is going to have is Kedusha Zdamim Lamizbech. And the very next pasuk says, Dishar Oseo, so he has been all. So since it's a smichas hapsukim and it's a vav moisiv elin yerishon, so why shouldn't I say just like kachim be kalayim lo, kachim can't be kalayim, so Yosef Esbana shouldn't apply to kalayim. Next kasha was by Yosef Esbana says the word seh, and Rava has a yalfusa from somewhere. That's the shayla Rashi and Tosafot. Where is the yalfusa from? Rava has a limud that the word seh, whenever it appears in Chumash, always refers to a pure set, not a hybrid of a set. So you really have two reasons why you ought to say, Osav Ezbeno should not apply to Kilayim. How did the Tanoim know that it does apply? If the Sefta says it does apply, Noi Biklai, what is it from the word O? Ushar Oset. That means a Shor Kama or a Se Kama, Behemagasa, Behemadaka, or an O, or an etc., or a Kilayim. So the Gemara says, no, but I need the word O, Lechalek. So the Gemara finally says, you don't need O Lechalek. The Gemara says, oh, so, what? I would have mistakenly thought you have to shecht four animals, sure, and a seh, and the ben, and the ben. The Gemara says, no, it says beno in the singular. So the Gemara says, no, I would have thought you have to shecht two, sure, and a seh, and either this beno or that beno. The Gemara says, you can't say that because it says, oh, so, in the singular. So since it says, oh, so, it's clear already that it means a sure and a vlad or a seh and a vlad. You wouldn't think that you need more than two to violate. So mainly, the Gemara says that the word O is miyuto shor ose, so the word O comes to indicate l'rabbis es haklayim. So then the Gemara says, wait a minute, hon nicha l'rabbanon des ha-machlokes, rabbanon ha-chananya, where the Oz v'ezbeno only applies to the mothers, or even applies to the fathers as well. So the Gemara says, hon nicha l'rabbanon de miyato lo oso, the word oso is miyuter to tell you all you need is one parent. You don't need the shor and the seh and a vlad. You don't have to shecht three. All you have to shecht is also one of the two parents and beno, one of the two vladis. You don't have to shecht two parents, you don't have to shecht two vladis. So if you hold like the Rabbanan, that also as beno does not apply to the father, so the word also is miyuter, so it tells me l'chalik. But if you hold like Chananya is the Tan who says that also it applies both to the mother and to the father. And how does he know that it applies to the father? Because it says also. He needs the word also, not l'chalik. He uses the word also to teach me also is masculine, that it applies to the father. And the word beno implies that it goes on the mother. Why? The word beno has the connotation misha beno korach achrab. That's the last line on the daf. The last two lines on ayin ches on the base. Harehu oimer beno misha beno korach achrab. Yotza zoch hashem beno korach achrab. The mother holds the mother cow, mother behema, holds the vlad in her womb for 5 months or for 9 months, and she gives birth and she nurses the vlad. So the behemoth, the vladis arob, is nimshach after the mother. They're not nimshach after the father. They may not even know who the father is. What shaykhs do they have? They know who the mother is. They can tell who mother is. They can't tell who the father is. So the word dino has the connotation misha bino korach achrav, the teacher of the rotsavizm applies to the mother. You shouldn't think it only applies to the father, because it says a masculine. And the word oso teaches you that it even applies to the father. So the Gemara says, if you hold like, again, if you all like Chananya, that it applied both to male and to female. So the word oso and beno, nothing is miutus. I need the word shor ose lechalik. But hanicha the rabban, if you all like the rabban, the oso is beno only applies to the mother, and the vlad doesn't apply to the father. The vlad is not miuchas after the father by behemoth. Hanicha the Rabbanan, the Me'atalahu also. They don't need the word also to tell me that also applies to a father. They hold it's not true. They hold it only applies to the mother. Ella the Hananya, but according to Hananya, he holds it applies both to the mother and to the father. He holds Choshishim Mizraham, that there is a yachas between a behemah and its father. So the lo mi'atali also, the word also is not miyutar. I need it to tell me that it applies to the father. So l'chalek minoles, he has to use the word o, shor ose. He has to use the word o to be mechalek. So if he needs o to be mechalek, how do you know o l'rabbis es haklaim? You can't read shor kama, ose kama, etc. Or a kilaim. No, the word o is needed l'chalek. That you don't have to shecht all three, you don't have to shecht all four. You're in violation with one without the other. So the Gemara says, and for the Gemara, l'chalek l'tzarech kro. According to Hananya, don't you need the word shor ose, the word or l'chalek? Gemara says, no, Hananya probably holds l'chalek l'tzarech kro. Why? That's a famous machlokes, Rabbi Yoshia and Rabbi Yonason. These were two Tanoim who often had disagreements. So this is one of them. The pasuk says, "Mekalul over v'imah most yomos." There's an avera, not to curse a parent. There's an avera, not to curse anybody. That's called cherish. And Chumash says, "You're not even allowed to curse a deaf person who can't hear. He doesn't hear what you're saying, so it doesn't get aggravated when you're cursing him." So the Chumash says, "You're not allowed to curse Adam Yisrael. You're not allowed to curse any person." So if you curse a normal Jew, you get malchus. You get one malchus. If you curse a Jew who has smicha, that's another pasuk. Elohim lo yisikalel in Parshas Mishpatim, and there are two levels of interpretation in that pasuk. Elohim loshin kodesh, you're not allowed to curse HaKodesh Baruch Hu, and if you do, yichai misa. And Elohim lo yisikalel loshin chol, like v'nikra balabais elu Elohim, ashi ashin Elohim mishalim shnayim lerei. Elohim over there is chol, means dayanim smuchim. So Elohim lo yisikalel loshin chol means you're not allowed to curse a dayan who has smicha. So the Rambam quotes a Mechilta that if a person curses Adam Yisrael, he gets Malkus. If the person has Smicha, he gets double Malkus. What if the person is the Melech or the Rosh HaSanhedrin? Then there's a third time Malkus, because there's a third pasuk that says, Nasi bi'amcha lo sa'or. You're not allowed to curse a Nasi. And the word Nasi has a double meaning. Nasi means the Rosh HaSanhedrin, and Nasi means the Melech. So one who curses the Melech is in violation of three Averis. He cursed Adam Yisrael, and the Rosh HaSaren has smicha, so that's a second time Malkus from the Pasuk Elohim Loise Kalel, and then there's a third time Malkus because of Nasi Dam Chalo Sa'or, or Sa'or means to curse. So you get three times Malkus. Yeah. So the Pasuk says, Mikalal Ovi Ima is Chayiv Misa. But the Pasuk says, Mikalal Ovi Vi Imo. If he curses, it sounds like he curses both parents. What if you only curse one parent without the other? So how do you know that the din is that he is chay mis? If he curses only one parent, he's already chay mis. So the Gemara says, how do you know? Ditanya isha sheikalel es aviv es imo. If he curses the both parents, he's chay mis. Eli alo aviv imo. The pasuk only, maybe it's incorrect. Maybe the pasuk only means he's chay mis if he curses both parents. How do you know aviv shelo imo? He only cursed the father, doesn't curse the mother. Imo shaloy aviv, he cursed the mother, doesn't curse the father. How do you know that he's also chay misa? He's only cursing one parent, minayin. How do you know that he's still chay misa? Tam lamar, aviv imo kileel, aviv kileel imo kileel. What does he say? The verb lekaleel, in the beginning of the pasuk, ish asher yikaleel es aviv es imo. So the verb asher yikaleel, the verb yikaleel is right next to the word aviv. Then at the end of the pasuk it says aviv imo kileel dom of bo. The verb kileel is right next to the word imo. So in the first half of the pasuk the verb yikaleel is right next to aviv. In the last part of the pasuk the verb kileel is right next to imo. So that's how the first time. That's what Rabbi Yoshia says aviv kileel imo kileel. One half of the pasuk you see if you curse the father alone. One half of the pasuk you see you curse the mother alone. Deva Rabbi Yoshia. Why? Because Rabbi Yoshia holds that if it would only say Isha Shekala Asavi Vi Esimo, it's a Vavachibur. And you would have thought, you only Chai Misa if you curse both. You would say the word, the letter Vav, sometimes has the meaning of O, but often has the meaning of and, this and that. So the Rabbi Yoshia says that you have to have a mocker to say of if kimel imu kil. Rabbi Anderson disagrees. Rabbi Yosef, no, he says when you have, you don't need any extra makarvis. You don't have to figure out new yafuses. Rabbi Anderson, I may disagree. Mashma shtein keachar, mashma echad b'fnei atzmo, unless it says yachtov. It says you're not allowed to wear tamer at pishtim yachtov. So if it wouldn't say the word yachtov, it would just say you're not allowed to wear tamer at pishtim. So one would think you're not allowed to wear woolen clothing. You're not allowed to wear linen clothing. So that's not true. You're not allowed to wear a garment that has tzemer, pishtim, yachtov together. But you're allowed to wear tzemer alone. You're allowed to wear pishtim. You could even wear woolen socks and a linen shirt. They have nothing to do with each other. If you wear a woolen chveis undershirt and a linen shirt on top, so menatar, that's not klaim, that's the Yerushalmi, is quoted in Yeridah. That's klaim in the Rabban. If you can't take off the lower garment without first taking off the upper garment, usually, let's say, the undershirt and a shirt and a jacket, how can you take off? Some people can. It's quite a job. Can you take off, let's say, a shirt? Let's say I'm wearing a woolen jacket and a linen shirt. Now the shirts are no longer made from linen. They're made for cotton, I think. But they used to be made for linen years ago. So if normal people have a woolen jacket, and you're wearing a linen shirt, so is that shatnas midirabbanan? If you're wearing two begadim and you can't take off the bottom beged without first taking off the upper beged, so even though the two, the tzemer pishtam and chuviyach and midirabbanan, that constitutes kalai. Some hatainas you're not allowed to wear if you wear woolen socks and you wear a pair of shoes, so the shoes are held together with linen thread. The top of the shoe is sewn together with the bottom of the shoe with linen thread. So somebody came up with anaya chamur, anuchamre, that since you cannot take off the socks without first taking off the shoes, so you're wearing semer pishtim, you can't take off one without the other. So pash, this is, that's a joke. The linen thread that holds the shoe together, that's not a beged. What? That's, you're not wearing a beged that holds the shoe together. It's a leather piece of clothing. The shoe. It's not a linen piece of glue. It has linen thread that holds it together. So the Chumrah for the Yerushalmi probably doesn't apply there. But let's say a person wears a woolen jacket and he wears a linen shirt. Years ago, the shirts used to be linen. So that's a shayla, according to the Yerushalmi. The Mechaber quotes this Yerushalmi. That should be Kalayim of the Rabban. Arba Kamfas, usually you don't have sleeves, so you can open, you can take out the whole Arba Kamfas without taking off the linen shirt. Yeah. Yeah, the woolen arba kamfas and the woolen jacket, so the linen shirt is very hard to take off. Can you take off your shirt without taking off the jacket? Some people can. Have to be able to do it. If the sleeves are not too tight, so theoretically you can. And your arms are not too long, so you will be able to take off the shirt without taking off the jacket.
What if you have a linen undershirt and a parched shirt and a woolen jacket, so they're not touching each other, the woolen and the linen garments are not touching each other.
I think even if they're not touching, I think it's still prohibited by the Rabban. If you can't take off the lower garment without first taking off the upper garment, so that's a chumrah by the Rabban, that's also kilai. A chumrah. That's a chumrah by the Rabban, you should do it. The Bavli doesn't say, but that's Yerushalmi. And the Masechus Klaim and the Shulchan Aruch quotes it from the Yerushalmi. There's a din in Yeridah. Who would know of that din? But the Shach quotes it in Chelek Aleph Yeridah to explain something in Basav Chalav. Let's say a girl's wearing a long gown that has a long train that's schlepping on the floor. So let's say the whole gown is made lamazong from linen. And then on the bottom of the train that schleps on the floor, somebody sewed in a thread of wool. She's not wearing that. So the Shach quotes from the Shulchan Aruch, that's shatness. If you have one stitch of wool and a beged that's all linen, the whole beged is shatnez, and you're not allowed to wear any part of the beged, even though that part schleps on the floor. That's not on your garment, that's not on your body. You're wearing a beged that has shatnez, even though the shatnez itself is not on your body.
Isn't the story take with the stipler when he's going to first to visit the Chazonish for his sister, something like that? He was standing all the time so the seat was shatnez?
Yeah, he was afraid that the seat on the train was shatnez, so he was standing the whole time. Then he fell asleep on the date because he was exhausted from standing. So she didn't want to go out with him again. So the Chazonish told her she should marry him. She should go out again. He's a good catch.
So you mean he can't sit on shatnez either?
That's a chumrah midirabbanan. And our Torah, it says, Mutav Hatzia Tachtav, you're permitted to sit on shatnez. But with the Rabbanan, they made a gzera, Shemit Ticharach Lo Nima. Maybe, let's say I'm going to sit on a sheet the shatnas. So if you have a blanket that shatnas and you cover yourself with the blanket, that's an isa ha'alo. There are two prohibitions. One pasuk says lo silba shatnas. You're not allowed to wear shatnas. If the jacket or the clothing is shatnas, I'm wearing it. Then there's a pasuk beggar klein shatnas lo yala alecha ha'alo. Let's say I go to the barbershop. I go to the barbershop and they put this thing on that I shouldn't get the hair on my body. I'm not wearing, you can't say it's a garment that I'm wearing, but it's ha'aloh. It's on top of my body. When you have a blanket on top of you, when you go to sleep at night, you can't say you're wearing clothing, it's not clothing, but that's ha'aloh. So the pasuk says the farish, ha'aloh is prohibited and levisha is prohibited. Both of them are prohibited. Either levisha or ha'aloh. So the second time Rabbi Edison says, if you have a pasuk that says A, Vav, B, Mashmah Shneim Ke'echad, Mashmah Echad Defneatzmah, Vav doesn't necessarily mean the din only applies if you have both together. If you have one without the other, the din will also apply, unless it says Yachtov, like it says by Shatnas, or it says Lasachesh B'shor B'chamor Yachtov. So if we wouldn't say the word Yachtov, you would think you're not allowed to use a shor to be chorish, to plow the field. You're not allowed to use a chamor, the sachrish b'shar b'chamor, period. So Rabbi Edison would have said, if it wouldn't have said, says sach b'shar chamor yachtov, but if it wouldn't say the word yachtov, you would have misunderstood the pasuk to mean you're not allowed to use a shor or a donkey, an ox or a donkey, to plow. But now that it says yachtov means kilai behema, you're not allowed to have shor b'chamor to do work together if the two are connected with each other. So again, so the Gemara is talking on this pasuk. Vishor ose osov yezmano. Why does it say oh? So the Gemara said here on the second line, oh the rabbis is hakline. The word oh is marbe, even though based on the pasuk it would appear that osov yezmano should not apply if the animal is kelaim. Have a ribui, it applies to a shor and to a se and to a oh and to a klein as well. Gemara says, but don't you need the word oh to be mechalek? Gemara says, no, the Chalak is already taken care of with the other psukim. Gemara says, not so clear. So the Gemara says, well, if you hold, what do they say again? So, like Rabbi Yonason says that the Chalak would have said on my own, even if it would have said, Shor Vase, also Yasmino, Shor Vase wouldn't mean that you only get Malkus if you shecht all four. The shor in the se and the vlad and the vlad. No, or the shor in the se and one of the two vlad. No, shor vase means shor ose. Shor ose. So you don't need the word o to teach you the chalek. The word shor vase, if it would have been written, doesn't say like that. If it would have been written, shor vase would have meant shor ose. So why does it say o? So it must be o is to be marba de kalai. Sure. So that's what the Gemara says. Then the Gemara says, well, this machlek is Chananya and Chacham that you are alluding to. Who is it? What is it? Where did it come from? The Gemara says, yeah, that's a machlek is Hatanan, whether Oisev Ezbeno only applies to the mother and the vlad, or does it also apply to the father? The mother for sure it applies. And the father is a machlek. Is the behemoth related to his father or not? The behemoth is related to the mother. The mother carries the baby and she nurses the baby. But is the behemoth related to the father? That's a machlek. So that's what the Gemara says. My Chananya, my Chachamim. What are you referring to? And then it said before there's a Machlokes Hatam. Zog the Mor D'Tanya, the other Brice. Also, there's been a Noeg B'Kem, so there's a Noeg B'Scharim. Sure. Tanakhama says it doesn't apply. It's against the Pshut Hashan Mikra. Even though the Chumash sounds like also there's been no, it goes on a male. Also, there's been no. It goes the father is the male, not the mother. So Tanakhama says it's the Pasuk doesn't mean what it says. Also, Ezmano only applies to the mother in the vlad. The father and behemoth, the father is not related to the behemoth. And Chananya disagrees. Chananya, Menoik, Behem, Mischarim, Ubein, Benikev. It applies to both. Then the Gemara is going to say, Chananya says it betoris sofik, not betoris vada. So that's why Tosis says on the last line, Also, Ezmano, Noik, Bischarim, the Isura of Aloy, Lamalkus. That's what it says in the other day, because it says, Sveke Adina. Tanakhama says it doesn't apply to Zchorim at all, only to Nidikavis. And we pass like Hananya that it's a suffix, whether it applies or not. Hananya, I'm a noig, beim Zchorim, beim Nidikavis. So, my time of the Rabbanon. How did the Tanakhama come up as such an einfall that also is, no, Dafke applies to the mother, not to the father? It's like Mamish against the simple reading of the Pasuk in Chumash. So the more the Tanya, we have a bris. Yochel Yehi Osu has been on the Beim Mischar Beim Minikavis. One might have mistakenly thought that it applies equally whether you shecht the mother or the father with the vlad. the din who should be a kal v'chaymer, should be a kal v'chaymer. I can figure it out on my own, v'din hu. Din usually means a kal v'chaymer, like you say, ein anshim en adin. You don't give malkas based on a, you don't give misa based on a kal v'chaymer. So din over here, din means a kal v'chaymer. What's a kal v'chaymer? Chiyev kan v'chiyev b'im alabar. Torah prohibits over here, not let a shech, those who has been up. Torah prohibits shalech to shal chasem v'asika chayim alabonim. When you're walking on the baderech, on the highway, and you see kantzipo lofanecho, v'em rabetza sal v'afrochim ol ha-beitzim, so the din is shalech to shal chasem, so you're not allowed to take the aim alabonim. Over there it's only the mother, not the father. Ma'ke shechiyah b'em alabonim b'nei kevis lo b'schar. A lot of people like to do shiloh ha-kan because it's a school of harichas yamim or whatever, it's a school to have children. So a lot of times they don't know. How can you tell? You have to know whether the bird that's sitting on top of the chicks, is it the male or the female? One part of the day the female sits on the chicks. One part of the day the male sits on the chicks. The male is sitting on the chicks, there's no mitzvah. You have to make sure that it's a female. Daphne Kenan, Daphne Vissen, what's a male and what's a female? What does it look like? By people we know what it looks like. By birds, how do you know? You have to know. There's no bracha recited on Shiloh HaKan. So a person won't be saying a bracha levatola, but it's achzorius. If he's going to chase away the father and he's not behind many mitzvahs, he's just an act of achzorius. You have to know whether it's the father or the mother. So the Brisa says, Vidinu, we could figure out with a kal v'chaymer. We could have thought, based on a kal v'chaymer, that what chiev kan, the Torah prohibits to shech tei malaban. Torah prohibits to shech to osim es beno. The chiev of the Torah prohibits a malaban, me not allowed to take vasikach a malaban. Ma keshechiev a malaban, b'ni kevis v'lo b'scharm, that then only applies, b'ho emra vetzes. There it's not written b'loshen zohar. Kol ha-Torah kula is written b'loshen zohar, but there it's not b'loshen zohar. It says b'ho emra vetzes, ala efrechem. It says only b'ni kevis v'lo b'scharm. So the mail over here, even though it's vague, it says shor ose osovi asma. Here it's a little vague. So we say we learn out from shiluach hakad after shchiv kan. He also by yosef asma has only been in kavis, but lo bischer. So why is it a kal v'chomer? Why is that a din? Maybe it's a mamatzina. Why should I don't know? Why should it be considered a kal v'chomer? I'm not sure. That's a good question. Din usually means a kal v'chomer. I don't know. I have to look on the Rishonim. I don't know. So the Gemara says, wouldn't I be able to figure out on my own that it should only be b'nei kevis, the lo b'zichor? So the Gemara, the Braisa argues that lo, not necessarily a tzushto. Im amarta b'im alabonim shekein le'osid. Im alabonim is not as universal as osid as b'no. Im alabonim is very limited. Shekein le'osid b'o mizumik shekein mizumik. Let's say I own nests, I own birds, and the bird gives birth to vladis, and I own everything. It's in a big, there's a big net on everything, and they can't fly away. So that's called mizumin. If the aim and the bottom belong to me already, I was kinded already, so the whole din of shiloh hakan doesn't apply. It's only ki koel afenach kantzipa baderech, everything is hefker. But if it belongs to somebody already, then the din of shiloh hakan doesn't apply. So you see, it's so restricted. So maybe Shiloh HaKan is restricted, so maybe there it's vital restricted only to the mother. But Osvez Bino applies even if it is my animals. I have a whole farm, and I have, each animal has a teagana, has a pedigree, said this is the father, this is the son, this is the grandson, you know who's related to whom. So maybe over here, since Osvez Bino even applies to Mizumen, more inclusive, more universal then, so maybe it even applies to this Chorim, not only to the Kavis. So that's what the Gemara says. Loi, how can you learn out a mamatzinu from Shiloh HaKan that should only apply to the mother? Lo, it's not correct. It's very limited. The whole mitzvah is restricted. It doesn't apply if it belongs to me. You're not allowed a shech to osvez beno. Even though everything belongs to you, so it's more universal. So maybe it applies even to the father. Only one parent is included in the prohibition of Osovias Mano. Which parent? Should it be the father or the mother? So it's a toss-up. So how do you proceed? How do you know? So once the Pasuk distinguishes and says only one parent is subject included in the din of Osovias Mano, now I can make a alfusa. the mamatzin. Chiyev kan v'chiyev beim al abonim. Ma'ak shechiyev beim al abonim in a kevis v'lo bizchar. M'shaliach ha'kan is only the mother, not the father. After shechiyev kan, when it gets to the din, the prohibition of those says, is only in a kevis v'lo bizchar. That's the Tanakama. So he just worked out a ganzi yafusa. And then he continues, v'imnaf shechaloymar. And if you have something to dingzach on this limud, what can you dingzach? What is going to discuss later? And if there's what? The dingzach on this limud, I have a different marker to prove that this is the din. The pasuk says, also, he has beno, and the word beno has the connotation, beno korach achrach. And the behemoths, the vlodas, are only korach after the mother. They don't know who the father is. They have no shaykhas with the father. Beno means Misha Beno Korach Achrav, Yotza to the exclusion of the Zocha, the father, Shem Beno Korach Achrav, the Vladas are only Korach after the mother, because the mother held them in the womb for so many months, the pregnancy and then the nursing, so the Vladas are Korach. So that's what the Tanakama holds. Also, his Beno only applies to the mother and the Vlad, not the father, and he learns it out from the word Oso, only one, and once he says it's only one, so then it has to be the mother, not the father. And if you want a dingzach, if there's what the dingzach, then we're going to say the word beno has the connotation of only the mother. What is it, a dingzach? It's a good limud. Everything was good. Why do you have to have a new limud? So Gemara, because he can argue, but the simple pshut of shel mikra is not so. It's written below shel zocha. It's a true. We have no neutral gender, and whatever the Torah is written, Blasha Zocher, it's Mashma, both Zocher and a Keva. But how can you say it's only Nekeva? It should certainly be Zocher. So that's what the Gemara says, Farfan, Harayim Abbeno, Misha Beno Karachach, Yatz Zocher, Shem Beno Karachach, no. Even though it says, Oso, it doesn't mean Zocher, only means Nekeva. That's what the Chachamim say. It also says Beno only applies to the mother, not to the father, because by animals, there's no kurva between the father and the vladas, only the mother and the vladas.
What does one have to do to be mekayim shaloch, I think? So let's say they chase away the mother bird. Is that enough, or the person has to eat the egg?
No, that's the shalech to shaloch zayin. Usually take a broom, unless you want to handle it yourself. Usually take a broom and you chase away the mother. And then you have to pick up the nest that has the eggs or the vlodas. And then I'm not interested in it, so I put it back. I put it back on the windowsill, and I'm not going to keep it. Some achrayim hold there's a big machlokes in Shulchan Aruch. The Ben Chaskinah has a long arichas on this. Does the mitzvah of shiloch hakan only apply if you're interested in using the eggs or the chicks for yourself? What if I'm not interested in the whole thing? I don't want anything. I don't want the aim. I don't want the bonim. So that's a big machlokes. There seems to be contradictory passages in the Gemara, the end of Chulin. The last perek is perek Shiloh HaKan. So there are mashmos in the perek that contradict each other. On one daf, the mashmos says that even if you're not interested in the Beitz Mon of Lotus, and the other daf is mashmi, only if you are interested. That's a shayla halacha lamaisa, what the din is. What's the nature of the din? What kind of a mitzvah is the din? So the Rambam says, the Pashto says, it's not to act in an achzorius fashion to the Vlad. But not that. Achzorius means if you want to take the Vladis, so you're not allowed to take the aim alabah. I don't want the whole thing. So leave the whole thing. So according to the Rambam, you shouldn't act in a fashion of achzorius. Means if you're interested in taking the Vladis or the Beitzim, so don't take the aim. But if not interested in the whole thing, so leave the whole thing. And others quote, no, that the Zohar says no. That the nature of the mitzvah is to demonstrate achzorius to the bird. And once the Torah requires, once you'll demonstrate an act of achzorius, I send away the mother. She mother wants to sit on the beitzim, on the Ephraichim. She wants to sit there and take care of them. You do an act of achzorius, so the Shari Rachmim in heaven will open up to have Rachmanis on this bird. And once the Shari Rachmim will open up, so it opens up for everybody, even for the guy who did the act of achzorius.
Doesn't it say something like what is it? Mishaskin or something like that?
The what? The Mishnah says one who says Al Kansipi Yerachamecha Mishaskin also.
Yeah. So that seems to imply, okay, it's not Achzorius. It is Achzorius, not Rachmanis.
The many Mefarshim, this Gemara seems to say that the Pshat and the Mishnah is one who says the Rebbeinu Shalom has rachmanis on the birds, and that's why he gave us a din of shiloh hakan. Al-Katsipi Yer Achmecher, Rebbeinu Shalom has rachmanis on the Katsipur. So the Gemara says you're not allowed to say that because it's a gzera. It's a gzera ben hashmaim, it's not for a good reason. So the simple, the Gemara seems to have understood the Mishnah that you're not allowed to say that the reason for the shiloh hakan is achzori. So that's, how does the Rambam say that that's the reason? The Rambam says that that Mishnah only means you're not allowed to say that in Shmon Esrei. You're not allowed to say it in Tfiloh. But when you talk about Tami HaMitzvah, that is the Tami HaMitzvah. You are allowed to say it. So why can't you say it in the Tfiloh?
Are you allowed to avoid it if you have the opportunity to do it? You may not be able to avoid that.
That's the big machlokes. Are you mechuyev to send away the yam? I'm not interested in the whole thing. I don't want anything. So that's the big machlokes. So some present it as if it's a contradiction between the nigla and the nista. That the Zohar says you have to go out of your way to demonstrate achzoris in order to open up the gates of mercy from heaven. Once they're open for the birds, open for everybody. So you mechuyev to do shiloh hakan even if you're not interested in taking the baits. And from the Gemara would appear not so. So this is what the Chaim Balozhiner once asked the Vilna Gaon, they write this up, that there's a contradiction between the Gemara and the Zohar. Married couples will sleep in a bed. What direction should the bed be? Should the bed be north-south or should the bed be east-west? So it's the stira between the Gemara and the Zohar. So the Vilna Gaon told Chaim Balozhiner there's no such thing. There's only one stira between the Gemara and the Zohar, that you're not allowed to walk toch tal aram. So if someone is davening Shmona Esrei, does it only apply in front of him and on the sides, or does it even apply behind him? So I think the Zohar is machma even behind him, and the Gemara is only in front of him. So the Vilna Gaon said that's the only place where there's a contradiction. And this contradiction, which direction should the beds face of the married couple, so this is not a contradiction, and he gave him the teretz. Chaim Balozhiner forgot the teretz that he said, but he remembered that he gave him a teretz, and he told this, he drilled this into him. There's never any contradiction between the Zohar and the Gemara. The only one contradiction is Ayilad walk Tuch Dalaram is behind one who's Dominic Shmanes. So when they quote this, there's a thin book that has a list of all of the manuscripts that were written by the Vilna Gaon and all the books that were published from the Vilna Gaon. He hardly wrote anything. Most of them were written by Talmidim of his. And they tell stories about the Vilna Gaon and Vertlach about the Vilna Gaon. So they have this one that Abchai Valozhin heard from the Vilna Gaon. There's only one steer between the Gemara and the Zohar about walking toch tal aram behind the one who's davening Shmon Esrei. So they have a long footnote there where they quote 21 different areas in Halacha where Achrayim say that there is a steer. So this Shiloh HaKan, this is one of the 21. That the Achrayim, the Pisrei Tshuva, and Yerodeya quotes that. That from the Zohar it would appear that you mechuyev to send away Shiloh HaKan even if you're not interested in taking the Ephraim or the Beitzim. And from the Gemara, they think that it's mashma that you're not mechuyev, only if you are interested.
So I think if I send away the aim, I'm not interested, I put it back afterwards. So can someone else come and do a shluch hakan in the same...
If I was kind of the beitzim, then it's mezumin. If I'm mafker it again, and then the mother's going to come back again, someone else can do it, yeah.
That is businesses people have. If you want to do shluch hakan, we have to set up... Is that shluch
hakan? No, you can't stage it.
You have to make sure... No.
You stage it.
If you stage it, then it belongs to you. But if you have in mind you don't want to be kind of the bird or the beitzim, so then it is hefket. So then it's not called mezumah. Mezumah means if it belongs to somebody.
You can do that continuously.
Yeah, yeah. There was a fellow in Washington Heights. He was always raising money for Boys Yeshiva. So he said, whoever wants to do shluch hakan, come to... He knew whether it's a zohar and a keva, who's sitting on the beitzin, is it the father or the mother, and he would make you give a donation to Broyus to do the mitzvah of Shiloh HaKan.
Yeah. So according to the Zohar, it shouldn't matter whether it's the mother or the father.
No.
If it's the mother, then it's Exarius, that's good, that's what we want. If it's the father, then either it's Exarius and good, that's what we want, or it's not Exarius at all.
So no, but the mitzvah doesn't apply if it's the father. So it's just Exarius with no mitzvah, so that you're not about to do. If the Torah, that's beferish only the aim. So if it's the father, it's just Achzarius.
But the tam of Achzarius is still...
So I can go punch you in the face and do an act of Achzarius. Torah only says this Achzarius, to send away the mother, not to send away the father.
That's the only thing that's going to open Racham then?
I don't know, but you're not allowed to do other acts of Achzarius. The only act of Achzarius that's permissible and required is this act of Achzarius. Only Behem, only Oif Tahar. It doesn't have to be the mother of those The beitzim can be beitzim from a different min tahar, and the mother can be. She doesn't have to be the mother of these chicks. It's not her beitzim, and it's not her afreichim. That's beferish in the Mishnahs. Doesn't have to be her beitzim. Can you do
can
what?
You take just the mother.
I don't think so. I think that's also not allowed. I think the din is probably a beferish in Mishnah later. I think the din requires you have to send away the mother.
So you can never take the mother.
I think you're not allowed to. Unless the mother is just sitting without any, no nest. But if there's a nest and the mother's sitting on the beitzim, you're not allowed to take the mother and leave the beitzim. Not allowed to do that. Either just walk away, or you have to dafka send away the mother. Yeah. So the Gemara worked out how the Tanakama figured out his shita. That Shiloh HaKan, that the Osu Ezbena only applies to the mother and not to the father, against the simple reading of the pasuk. Also, zocha mashma, so we ignore that. Fegimar ulechanan, yeharis chanan, you know that it applies both to mother and to the father, so the answer is ksivo so, the mashma zocha, it's a masculine, the ksiv bino, which has the content, misha bino karachaf, mashma nekeva, hilka chanan, he says, noig beim schorim beim menekeva. So din of us, as bino, applies whether it's the father in the vlodis or the mother in the vlodis.
How did they kind of become this karachacharov? Where did that come from?
The connotation, the word bino, I don't know. Tosis on the top says not necessarily the word bino. If it would say bain, it would also be the same. The word bain has the connotation that there's a relationship between the two, like a parent and a child. And the father doesn't have any, by the bain, the father doesn't have any relationship at all with the mothers. The mother has a relationship. So the Shah, how do we paskin? Do we pass on like Hananya, that it applies both to mother and to the father? Do we pass on like the Chacham? So the Gemara says, Amar Avuna, and the third, Amar Avuna Bachir, Amar Shmuel, Hilchus Toke Hananya. We pass on like Hananya, that it applies both to the father and to the mother. And Shmuel is Lishita Soy. As the Shmuel Litame, Shmuel goes Lishita Soy in the following din, that what? This din of Hananya and Chachamim, first the Gemara works it out whether Osa's Bino only applies to the mother or to the father. But what's the Nekudas HaMachlekes? So the Gemara is going to explain whether Choshishim Lezerahav or Ein Choshishim Lezerahav. Is the behemoth related to the father or only related to the mother? So what else could be another Nafkamina in that Shaila? So the other Nafkamina, let's say somebody made a hybrid. It's an Averit. That's Kilai Behemah. You're not allowed to breed two different animals together. A guy did it, or the animals breed on their own. So let's say two animals give birth to a Vlad. So do you say the Vlad is related both to the father and to the mother, or the Vlad is only related to the mother, not related to the father? My nafkamina. So what if, this is a question, a medical, scientific question, can a chaya and a behemah give birth to a Vlad together? So that was a machlokes hatanaim. They didn't do enough research. Some of them have an answer today. But in the days of the Tanaim, that was a machlokes. Is that physically possible? That a behemah and a chaya should mate together and give birth to a vlad. So that's a shada. So the Gemara here assumes, the Gemara is going to assume, a lot of Tanaim assume that it is physically possible. So the shayla is, will a vlad only have al-pidin? It'll have a blend of characteristics of the mother and the father. It'll be half the father, half the mother. But the shayla is al-pidin. Is it only what the mother is? Or do you say no? It's a half behemah, half chaya. If one of the parents is behemah, one of the parents is a chaya, so do you say the vlad is a half behemah, half chaya? So whenever you have a mitzvah that only applies to behemahs, it will apply. Whenever you have a mitzvah that only applies to chayas, it will apply. Or do you say no? The vlad is only related to the mother, and ein chayshishim lezerahav. There's no kurva to the father, and the father is not kover the min of the vlad. So that's what as the Shmuel that I make. Shmuel says halacha kechananya. That you say choshishim lezerahav, that there is a relationship between the animals and the father, not just the mother, the father also. Let's say you have a horse gives birth to a horse and a cow give birth to a vlad, and the vlad is going to be a hybrid. It's going to be half horse, half cow. So do you say no? I ignore what the father is. Whatever the mother is, that's what the vlad is. So would you be permitted, let's say the mother's in a cave and the vlad is a zocher, there's no prohibition of incest by animals, would it be permissible to breed together the mother and the vlad? So if the mother is only a cow and the vlad is a half cow, half horse, So that's two different meanings. You can't read them together. But if Alpidin, you ignore the father, so true. In biology, the Vlad is a hybrid, but Alpidin, it's only what the mother is. So the mother, to breed the mother with the Vlad, would be Hatagama. So that's a Machlokes HaTanaim. Is the Vlad Alpidin considered a hybrid? It's half this, half that. Oh no, the Vlad is only the mother. So Shmuel goes, L'shita Soi. Shmuel holds the din is like Hananya Choshishim L'Zera Ha'av. And he says the same thing when it get to Harkovas Behemoth. When it get to breeding the animals together. That the mother with the Vlad, you have to consider also what the father is. So Linera will have to learn the next Gemara.
Also, that's been only by behemoth and not by chayim?
Correct. So the shaila is, what if you have a hybrid, the father is a behemoth and the mother is a chayim? So do you say the Vlad is a partial behemoth? Or do you say, no, the Vlad is only a chayim, because the mother is a chayim? So if you say choshim, so the Vlad is a partial behemoth. So there would be a din. And again, the Kisei Hadam is only by Chaya, not by Behem. Chaylev is only also by Behem. Chaylev Chaya is Mutter. So it'll be an Afkamina for Chaylev. Whether is the Vlad only Alpidin carries over whatever the mother is. If the mother is a Chaya, the Vlad will be a Chaya, so the Chaylev will be Mutter. But if you say, no, Choshishim Lezarav, or a Sofik, we pass going to stake in the dinah with Choshim Lezarav, so the Chaylev should be also me Sofik, Sofik Darasa Luchomer, but you wouldn't get Malkus. So that's going to be the next sugya, whether the Choshishim Lezarav or not.
But the Kisei Adam, they would have to do
Kisei Adam
without a bracha, I guess.
Kisei Adam without a bracha, correct. Mm-hmm. Kisei Adam is only Chayim, not Behema. And Zwala Chayim Vakeva is only Behema not Chayim. Also, it's been known as only Behema not Chayim. Right. Some dinim only apply to Behema, some dinim only apply to Chayim. In Vayera, every year, as Marva said, every year, I forgot to mention, this coming Motzoi Shabbos, I'm going to Eretz Yisrael for a week. There's going to be a Yachi Kala there. So I won't be able to give Shir next week. But the week after, I will be back. I'll be coming back on Sunday. So next week, there's no Shir. Every year, when I'm Mavis Sedra, it always strikes me in Parshas Vayera that Benoi Sloit were Nitzel with the father, and then they're in the mountains, and they thought the whole world was destroyed. Ishein Boratus, Lova Ledik Adar Kal Haaretz, they're the only two surviving females. The father's the only male in the whole wide world who survived. The whole world was destroyed. So, Olam Chesed Yibona, how did Cain and Hevel, how did they have any children? They married their sisters. Olam Chesed Yibona. Chesed means they violated Gilui Arayos. They had children from their sisters, so they felt that in order to keep the world going, in order to populate the world, they have to sleep with their father. So they violated an Isra of incest, thinking that it's mamish pikoch nefesh. They're saving the whole world. So the Gemara says they deserve the credit. The Gemara gives a moshel in Menachos. Let's say the doctor says this person is a chayla mesukan, and you have to pluck off some fresh fruits for him from the tree and give it to him quickly in order to save his life on Shabbos. So plucking off a fruit on Shabbos is kotzer. So 10 people run in 10 different directions. Everybody rips off an orange and they bring him the orange. The guy's already better. By the time the other 9 rip off the orange, the guy's already cured. He's already better. But the Gemara says they all get schar. Even though there's mamish, a waste, it's all about tola. But they thought, their perception was that they're saving someone's life. So whatever you do with the intention of pikuach nefesh, so that's a mitzvah. So the Gemara says, "Bishvil sheigdima habchira letzira." The older sister had relations with the father the night before the younger sister, so the older sister was rewarded in a greater way than the younger sister. Gemara Bava Kama like that. So they deserve reward because they thought that they're saving the world. But the truth of the matter was, the whole world was not destroyed. The whole world was there. And in fact, the psukim right after this say that the first pasuk in Perikov, Ayisam Hashem Avram Arza Hanegev, Avram Avinu moves away. Why is he moving away? He had a good deal over here. So Rashi quotes the Medrash. He was so embarrassed. All the people in the neighborhood, a lot of people survived. These cities were destroyed. Sdom Amor were destroyed. But the rest of the world was there. And everybody knew about Lot, that he slept with his daughters, and they had Mamzerim, that they had the children. It was an embarrassment, Rashi says. He quotes the Medrash, it's embarrassing. And then the Pasuk says also, when the Rebbe Shalom is about to destroy the five cities, by Yisrael is Avraham, the Rebbe Shalom remembered Avraham as a tzaddik, and in the schutz of Avraham Avinu, by Yishalach es loit mitach ha'afecha, pa'afecha sa'ar, ma'asha yosha v'hein loit. Loit was only nitzel in the schutz of his uncle Avraham. So the daughters thought that they were the only, they forgot that Avraham Avinu is dead, and the whole world is dead, they're the only three tzaddikim, Loit and his two daughters. The whole thing was so wrong, they didn't deserve to have a hatzol at all. They were only nitzol, it says, b'feirish, and pasuk chavtes, and perik yotes, pasuk chavtes, v'yizkor lehim es Avraham, v'yishal chesdan mitoch afecha. He only saved Lot in the schus of Avraham Avinu. A lot of times, the Gemara says in Tainus in the first parak, a lot of times, one farmer is a tzaddik, and he deserves to have rain, that everything should grow on his farm. Baruch Shalom is not going to make it rain only over here, and the rest of the whole country is not going to rain. So he makes it rain on a lot of fields. But it's not always in the schus of all the farmers. Maybe sometimes only in the schus of one farmer. It's not always so easy to tell in whose schus it is. Let's say sometimes you have an institution. You have an organization, you have an institution. So they have, let's say you have a yeshiva. So in whose schus does the yeshiva have a keel? Sometimes it's the least expected person. You would never think that it's in his chus. Min Hashemayim, the one, he should have a parnasa. So there's a whole institution, and the whole yeshiva exists because of that one person, the janitor. Maybe none of the teachers deserve anything, but the janitor needs a parnasa, and he has a job here. So in the chus of the janitor, the whole institution remains. You can never tell in whose chus it is. That's what the pasuk says over here. You have to have a big hekif in order to see. I remember I live at Bennett Avenue. So the street is always lined with cars. So I remember once when my children were little, so they wanted to go across the street. So they peeked out, and they said, there are no cars coming, so they want to cross the street. So I said, no, we lived on 56 Bennett. We lived near the corner. So I said, no, there's a car coming from around the corner. They were little children, so they could only see the cars on the block. I was taller. I could see the car that was coming around the corner. So if you're taller, you can see a bigger picture, and you can see it's not the way. One who doesn't have such a good vision, he just sees a little part of the story. So he thinks there are no cars. So he thinks in the schus of this person. He thinks this person is the most important person in this institution, and it's in his schus. It's not always the way it appears. Like over here, Bnei Slod, they thought they're saving the world, and they were rewarded, and the Pchir was rewarded greater than the Tzir because they thought that Tak is saving the world. Truth of the matter was, they weren't saving the world. A lot of times Rav Soloveitchik held such a drosha. I remember the Chag HaSmicha. He always used to give starke droshas. He used to give a charge to the musmochim. So he said when they go into the Rabbonis, they shouldn't develop a Messiah complex. They think that they're rativing the ganze Welt. A lot of times people in Kirov activities or people at NCSY, they think they're saving the whole world. So a lot of cut corners, they're a lot of they can allow people to drive on Shabbat Ben Hashmoshes, so it can be Mekalahin, Mekalaher, because they're saving Meratav at the Gansanah. You're not saving the whole world. You have to keep everything. There are rules and regulations. There are dinim of Sufik, Pikuach Nefesh, there are dinim of Sufik, Svek, there are dinim. When you're allowed to do what? We shouldn't have a misconception, we shouldn't have a misunderstanding of what's happening in the world. Shouldn't develop a Messiah complex.
Among the Chassidus of Svar, on Chassidus of Dosa, you have Zer Anten, Tapuchin, I've got the third one. So each one is a separate kind of thing, different concept. I don't know what it means, but each one is a different concept. You look at Chassidus of Dosa. Yeah, they're different. By Friday night, Shabbos lunch, and then through Sal Shudas, each one has a different Chassidus of Dosa. I don't know what it means.
We will play with that next time.
Only Tansipo, it doesn't say Kori Lukosantipo. It's something you come upon it. Not if somebody's like, you met you're living and you say, here's a bird, here's another bird.
So the Gemara and saying, Kikor Patla Mezumin, if it belongs to you, if you own it.
That's the only thing.
So it only takes the guy to say, okay, I'm offered, and then you do.